Hey, welcome to Westside Church Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us today. Here at Westside, we're all about equipping believers to succeed in life and mature in Christ as they reach, win, and disciple others. In just a moment, you're going to hear an encouraging message. But before we get into it, if we can serve you in any way by helping you grow in your walk with God, we want to connect with you at wcspokane.com/connect. Fill that out, and someone from our team will reach out to you. Now let's get ready to study the Word together.
It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Are you expecting to receive something this morning? I know I am. Amen. You got to show up to church with your expector on. Did you know that? God will allow you to just drag in. Sometimes we just drag in. We just barely made it, right? But it's better as we're coming to the day. We know Sunday's coming. God's going to speak something to us. Come and just know God's going to do something today, and I'm going to hear what I need to hear, amen? And it's going to speak right to my heart, right to my spirit. That's a good way to receive. Yay? So, Mr. Fleming's in the house. I've got to spend the last few days with him. Good friend of mine from Tulsa, Oklahoma, lives there. Got some great stories to share with you, I'm sure. And we go back 21 years, 1999. Chris and I, not that Chris, the other Chris. There's a lot of Chris's in my life. Good friend of mine, Chris. We went to Bible school together. We sat on the back row, as he tells it, in the school of the Bible. It's our Sunday school for singles. We were there with our eyes open. David Fleming was speaking. We just hit it off. So God just has a way of connecting you with people. Come on, you never know who you're going to be connected with when you walk into a room or you walk into a building or a job or a church. You never know who God's connecting you with. You're going to be connected with for the next 20, 30, 40 years. So be nice, right? God's trying to set some stuff up for you. So David's going to share with us. And David, why don't you come? That's my introduction. Is that good enough? You can tell the rest. Is that good? All right, it's all yours. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, good morning. Good to see everybody. Thank you for coming today. I love coming up here to Washington. This is what, third year in a row, I think, right now. Enjoying it. It's a little chilly out there. But, you know, you have something up here we don't get in Oklahoma, just seeing just all the frost on the trees, just how it's so picturesque. We don't really get that a whole lot. It's supposed to be like 60s this week in Oklahoma. That's kind of our winter. 60s, it'll drop to 40s, you know. Now in the summer, we are up over 100 degrees. I don't think anybody's signed up for that one, right? Nobody wants to go down there in Oklahoma in the hundreds. No, so my name is David Fleming from Tulsa, Oklahoma, originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I got a Yankee mentality and a little bit of a Midwestern twang to it all. All the words that come out. My family sends their greetings. They weren't able to come with me on this trip, but my wife at home, Erica, there she is. There's a picture of her up there. Yeah, she's wonderful. She's at home. She might be watching right now. They're a couple of hours ahead of us. And then my two boys are at home. Nathan is 5 and 7 months. He's going to correct me. He's 5 and 7 months, lost a couple of teeth already. And his younger brother, Andrew. Andrew is 3 and 7 months. And so man, we're just having a great time in life. God has been so good to us. Life is full all day long, every day, wide open. A lot of questions. We are learning the alphabet. We are quizzing each other on numbers, on math. What is 2 plus 2? What's 6 plus 7? We're having a great time. And much to my enjoyment, they're using it with football. Okay, Dad, 7 points and the Steelers, right? I'm a Steeler fan. And so somehow my boys have become Steeler fans. And so they're like, 7? What's 7 plus 7? And so they're so excited when we beat the Cowboys and we beat the Ravens. And I didn't show them the Super Bowl from Super Bowl 40. I didn't show them that one yet. Probably wasn't going to go over big here. when they beat Seattle. But so that's my life right now. God has been so good to us. We had a great time this weekend. I've been just traveling the country, traveling the world, just teaching on team building, building teams. It's just something that I started when I was a child. My father was a pastor growing up, I don't know if you know this, but when your parents are pastors, you are automatically a volunteer in the church. You are going. You're going early, and you're going to every event. Don't even ask. And you're staying late. And you're showing up at all times. And I knew that I was called to the ministry, so that was okay with me. I went to Bible school whenever I graduated high school, and really for me, the question was not, you know, should I get involved? The question was, where should I get involved? And so, and after spending time ushering and working in children's and working in youth and working in the parking lot, and then I worked for this church. They've got a 110-acre campus, so I started out being one of the guys on the grounds, cutting the grass, just doing all kinds of things. And so, and after being there for 10 years, the Spirit of God started to talk to me and just led me to begin to travel all over the country, just travel everywhere I go. One of the pictures that he gave me was I saw myself teaching. And I saw myself loading luggage in the trunk. And so then I knew, I think he wants me to go out and travel. So this is what we've been doing for over 19 years now. Travel the country. Last month we were in Florida. A month before that I was in Florida. A month before that I've been in Tulsa. Been in Tulsa for quite a while this summer. I have not spent so much time at home in 19 years. And we've just taken advantage of that, just working on projects and getting ahead. But just one message that was on my heart when I started to travel years ago was just encouraging people to get involved in the kingdom of God. I really believe as a follower of Jesus Christ, that's who we are, right? That's who we're following. And if we can go on an aside right here, the issue of Jesus Christ being the only way to the Father, this is the issue. All these other issues really pale in comparison. We see different struggles in our society today, different issues, and we find ourselves, the lines are somewhat being drawn. There seems to be just a larger chasm coming now between the groups. But the issue, the sticking point in all of history is the fact that we believe Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. This is actually the main issue. And Jesus Christ himself, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So this is actually the thing that defines us. This is our hallmark. This is who we are. John wrote his gospel, right? John was one of the disciples who spent time with Jesus. And he wrote the gospel of John. And his whole premise for writing this is he's not just interested in what, you know, do you believe in Jesus? John wants to know, what do you believe about Jesus? Just according to what Jesus said about himself, you just can't believe that. He was a good man. You can't say, he was a good man, I don't know that he's the way to the Father. He himself said, right, he is either a liar or he is 100% truth. He said, I am the only way to the Father. And why is he the only way? It's because he's the only one that paid the price with his own body, with his own blood. So here we are in the month of December, and the whole world, at least our American culture, is celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating the fact that he became a man. He was born and came down to us. God and Jesus made a covenant, and Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll become a man. So here we are in December about to celebrate. It's the one time of year that the society celebrates, but really as a believer, come on, we're celebrating Jesus every day. We have it made because of what Jesus Christ did for us. He went ahead of us. He's the only way to the Father. He's the one that paid the price. He is the code, right? Do you have a phone, right? Do you have a code on your phone that only you can get in, right? You got a six-digit code, or sometimes the phones have to look at your face, right? Sometimes when I'm out and about, depending on what business I'm at, you know, I'm trying to do a transaction, I've got to take the mask off, right? The phone doesn't recognize me with the mask on, right? Some businesses I go into, they say, no mask, no service. Okay, very good. And so now I'm, you know, trying to do a transaction, I got to take the mask off. There's a the phone knows me, right? You will not be able to open my phone. Right? And so we do that for security, right? There's one code, there's one way. It's because I paid for the phone, right? That's why. There's information in there I like. But Jesus is the one that paid for us to be able to come before the Father. He is the code. He is the one. And Scripture tells us that because of Jesus, we have access to the Father. And so this weekend, we've been talking about being on a team, being a follower of Jesus Christ, and how we're not just the only one, that there's other people. And then as a follower, that we're now in the family. And because we're in the family, we've been given gifts and talents. So you don't have every gift. You have a gift, you have a couple of gifts, but you don't have everything. And the reason for that is because you fit great on a team. And so we spent all weekend, we spent last year talking about the importance of finding out, hey, what do you have? What is your gift? And if you don't know, this is a great group to come into. Come in and just start working with us. I knew that I was called to preach long, long, long time ago, but I didn't start there. I had a dream in my heart. Do you have a dream? Is there something you see yourself doing? Many times the dream is not the starting place. Right. So I graduated from Bible school. I got my diploma. I'm ready to preach. And the church called me. We want you to come work for us. This is great. I'm going to start my ministry. I'm going to be somebody. And they said, can you cut that grass? That was not the dream. I've never had a dream about cutting grass. I've never had a dream about just working behind the scenes. I've never had a dream about showing up 2 hours early and cleaning things and making sure. Never had a dream about being exhausted from working all day long. But there are many times, many, many, many times, I jumped in to help someone else with their vision. That is a great place to start in the kingdom of God. Find what somebody else is doing and jump in and help them. How can I help you? What can I do for you? I've done all kinds of things. Things that I enjoyed. Man, I really like that job. And then there's things I did not enjoy. For years working with youth, we do different events. And one event in particular, every year we had, the church would have a large event. They moved it to downtown Tulsa. Thousands would come into town. So we had youth services at the same time. Well, one day we wanted to take them to a big water park. So we piled all the kids onto buses. And so on that day, we had 1,285 kids. We had to load them on 12 buses, and I had 20 leaders. And so the 20 of us, we just worked together, and I came up with this plan, just a brilliant plan. Come on, when you're working in the kingdom of God, not everything is going to be just spiritual. Sometimes you just got to use your head and just figure some things out, and the Holy Spirit will help you. So I came up with this grand scheme. Okay, so the first guy on the bus, you ride, you take 48 kids with you, and then you get off, and then the next two buses, you guys ride, but you stay on the bus. I came up with this whole scheme, right? Everybody had like three turns, and so by the end, we transferred 1,200 kids. It took me 25 minutes to take them 10 minutes across town. 1,200 kids on buses all the way across. And so the goal is that you don't lose a single one. Right, 1,284 over 1,285. That's a high percentage, isn't it? Yeah, but somebody's going to be missing that one if you leave them there. And so we learned early on, every single one of them is valuable to somebody. So you got to make sure they all get over, and then you got to make sure that they all come back. And it's not just enough sometimes to count. We actually one time had a boy leave the water park with us who was not with our group. He showed back up, you know, after the bus ride there at downtown Tulsa. All right, we're here. He's like, what's this place? Well, it's camp meeting. What's camp meeting? Why did you get on the bus? Did you come to Big Splash on a bus? No. How in the world would you leave Big Splash on a bus? So I think what happened was, we were loading out the kids out on a side, and we just had some vigilant leaders. Hey, everybody in single file line. Single file, hey, get back in line. And that's what the boy did. Did you know who talked to you? No, he didn't know. He's on a bus with 48 other kids. He doesn't even know who they are, right? So you got to be a little smarter than just counting, because you might pick up someone else's kid. So, you know, we just stuck him back on the bus and just rode him back to Big Splash. He was fine. And we've done all kinds of projects like this, right? And meanwhile, just waiting for the day. And then that God is faithful, right? You're faithful to do what he's asked you to do. And I was faithful to help my pastor. And so then there came a time where God said, man, I want you to travel. And so one of the messages on my heart was to teach about team building. I love being involved in the church. Absolutely love it. And I let people know, listen, you're going to get a whole lot of it this weekend. Hold on to your hat because I'm just going to inspire you, right? I think everybody's got a place. There's something everybody should do. Let's start out on Ephesians chapter 4. Do you have your Bibles with you? Let's look at it, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start here today just as a recap of the weekend. And then I want to go a different direction and push a little further. We talked about celebrating, and I want to talk about celebrating a little bit more today. Apply it to everyone here. But we want to finish up just a little bit about being on a team. Ephesians chapter 4. So we got started out on the team because in verse 11, Ephesians 4:11 says, He himself, this is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the one that God used to establish the church. He said, I will build my church. And the chapter before this in Ephesians, Paul said that through the church, God is going to make known the mysteries, the wisdom of heaven comes through us. The world is going to know about Jesus because of us, because of who we are. Your street is going to find out about Jesus because of you. Your work will find out about Jesus because of you. This is the way God has designed it. Your family will find out about Jesus Christ because of you. He has given to us that blessing, that benefit, that responsibility. So in order to get the job done, he himself gave some to be apostles. So now we talk about different types of people in the church, different types of leaders. Some are apostles. Apostles are people that are, the Bible says they're sent ones. And so they go and they start things. They start churches. Many times they're missionaries and they go out and they start a work and then they start another work. The apostle Paul, he himself was an apostle. We see in his life that he came to one place and started and taught people, and then God sent him somewhere else to go and to teach. And in addition to apostles and prophets, these are people who declare Jesus Christ. They are prophets who speak to us today. Some are evangelists, right? The evangelist is the kind of person that is fired up, has got to see people repent, see people born again, right? A very passionate person, a very passionate individual, someone who's getting people born again. Some are pastors, right? So we see that you are here today. We have a pastor. The pastor is the shepherd of the flock, right? Bringing people together, making sure everybody's good. And teachers, right? So the pastors and the teachers, right? They're teaching you all about Jesus Christ. Now, why do we have these gifts in the church? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. There is a job for me to do. There's a job for you to do. You're not just a spectator in this kingdom of God. You become born again and you're in the family. And then now that you're in the family, there is a family business. And so he goes on to say, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So this is where this team building comes in. There is something to do. For the work of the ministry, it gives you the picture of someone coming alongside to help someone else. And so if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it's vital now that you begin to learn and you're taught and you hear the word of God to find out exactly who you are. What do you qualify for? What is your identity in God? And then it's coming alongside and helping people. And so I've been applying this to working in the local church. It's the best environment to help people. It's the best. I think it's one of the easiest places for you to come in and get involved. It's not the only place being a follower of Jesus, but it's one of the best. And so this is what I've been doing since as long as I can remember. My parents, my mother taught children's, and I remember just helping her, teaching the younger ones. My dad was an usher, and sometimes I would go early with him. And then I've just done all kinds of projects, just working behind the scenes. Even as a traveling minister the last 19 years, I still go out and I find other projects and I'll come help them. I'll work behind the scenes, help them out. I absolutely love it. Why? Because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I've learned that while I'm setting up tables and chairs, I can meet other followers, helping to develop other followers. So these last 5-7 years while I'm working different projects. I worked at a youth camp for many years down in Florida. While I'm working, I'm always listening on the inside. Should I share my story with somebody? Is there something I can do? Someone that I can impact? And I have been impacted by people while I was working behind the scenes. for the work of the ministry, there's something for you to do. You've got to get up out of the chair and do something. And it goes on to say then, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That picture there of edifying means everybody's finding their place. There's a place for every single person. There's a place for all of us. We need you. And he says it's the whole body, right? It's all of us. All of a sudden begin to reach out. All of us begin to connect with each other. And so we talked about the four C's of team building this weekend, about connecting. So we want to connect with people, right? And we do different things to try to connect with you. It's not just enough. We don't want to just come in and talk to you. So many times these social online platforms are just talking, but there's like no connection. There's no alignment that is made. And it's like so many voices, just almost people using a megaphone. They don't really know if someone listening, is someone out there, is someone paying attention to them, or do they just like the sound of their voice? They just have to just keep talking out there. But there's a connection that we make. It's one of the reasons why we have donuts in the back. We're making a connection. The reason why we have coffee back there. Yesterday we did some workshops, and then when we were done, we had some food, right? It's something great about food and the church. Do you feel like almost every time we get together, we're eating something, right? And it's a wonderful thing, right? Sometimes maybe I'll have to park a little further out on the parking lot. Maybe I need to get a few more steps in before I. What do we got donuts today? Yeah, maybe I'll park next door. Maybe I'll park in the other lot. You know, maybe I'll park around the corner. But there's a connection that we're making with people. And then we talked about collaborating with people, about actually working together and realizing you can't do everything. Have you figured that out yet? Oh, I spent decades trying to do everything. I really wanted to be like everything. I wanted to be like perfect and just be able to be a one-man show. Really, the goal was I just wanted you to think that I was awesome. And I volunteered in the church that way. I just wanted to do everything because I was excited to serve. I was excited. I knew the importance of it, and I just wanted you to think that I was something great. And so wherever the ball, I was the excited volleyball player. Does that make sense? You ever play volleyball with somebody like that? Wherever the ball is, that's where they are. You just keep bumping into them. And after a while, you just start yelling at me, Fleming, where are you? You know, the ball bounces, right? We lose a point. And they say, whose spot was that? Well, that was Fleming. Where were you, Fleming? Well, I was back over there because the ball was coming this way, you know? I understand, you know, before they serve the ball, we're in spots, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But man, as soon as that ball is hit, and I approached volunteering the same way. Man, I want to just do it all. You know, we need someone to help us before service, outside, I'll do it. We need someone to help us before service, inside, I'll do that one too. How are you going to be in two places at once? I'll figure it out, right? I want to organize, and I just put myself in the middle of everything. And really, that driving goal was to be excited to be a part, but I so wanted you to say, wow, that Fleming is awesome. So the term for that is self-righteous. The Bible term for that is self-righteous. I was building my kingdom. And the truth is, when you're self-righteous, you're annoying to work with. You really are. Right, my superiors loved my performance, but my peers could not quite figure it out. But fortunately, the prayers of many were answered, and there just a peace came into my life when I realized the day that I discovered my identity in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ did it for me. See, I'd been working so hard, I didn't realize it, but I was trying to impress God. Trying to please him with what I did. Man, I just wanted him to be proud of me. And I finally realized he's not proud of me because of what I do. He loves me. In fact, he loved me right before. He placed value on me, so much value on me that Jesus Christ came, paid the price for me to do it. And I realized I need help. I need a Savior. This is how you become born again, when you realize I am working too hard, right? See, the problem with being self-righteous is you got to keep that reputation up, right? Once people think that you're awesome, oh, now you got to work harder. You got to stay there. That's tiring. That's exhausting. Right? Started to get the reputation that I remembered everything. Oh, that's exhausting. Right? I loved remembering people's names, and then it just blew up on me. People are like, oh, this guy will always remember names. Man, I got to work hard at this. People think that's who I am, right? Remembering things. I won a spelling bee when I was in fourth grade. I was like the champion speller. Love spelling words. When I was in fourth grade, it came down to me and a seventh grader in school. You know, that was a big deal to me. Seventh grade, he's a lot older than me. And he was the principal's son. Oh, yeah. He missed the word outrageous. Oh, yeah, I remember the whole thing. I remember standing on the stage. I remember the auditorium and everything. He missed the word outrageous. I spelled that right, and then I had to spell monosyllable to win. Oh, man, I was the hero for the day. I got to sit at the back of the bus with the cool kids, with the old kids, you know? And then the whole school started to take me on spelling-wise. Oh, that's exhausting. That's tiring. Everybody's trying to come up with words to stump you, you know? The whole class rejoices, you know, when you make a mistake. Oh, man, that's miserable. So you just want to stick it to them. You just want to keep learning, right? That's what you do when you're self-righteous. You just got to build your own name, got to build your own kingdom. But thank God for Jesus Christ. The only kingdom is the one that he is building, right? And so before, everything I had went to build my identity. And now that I understand salvation, now that I understand that I get to come before the Father not based on what I've done, I get to come to him based on the fact that Jesus got it right. Jesus did it for us. Scripture tells us that we have a boldness. There's a confidence that we come before God. So many times we talk about it, inviting people to church. You want to come to church, and when they don't have that understanding, that knowledge, people start to wonder, should I go to church? Well, how have I been doing this week? It's been a pretty good week. I think I'll go to church. Or there's people that are like, I didn't do so good this week. I don't think I'm going to church. Come on, the enemy will do everything he can to get you focused on your performance. Do you qualify? Who do you think you are? He'll do everything he can to remind you of all your mistakes. He'll find something that happened in your life and try to connect it to. He's right. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And that's what he's coming to do in your life. He doesn't really matter what happened to you. He just wants to steal from you. He'll find something that happened in your life, something real, and he'll try to convince you, well, I'm going to steal from you, and I can do that because this happened to you. And I finally figured out there is no connection. He's just trying to take advantage of people everywhere we go. But thanks be to God, right? 1 Corinthians 15. Do you know this verse? 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, let's look at 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2, let's look at verse 14. So the four C's about team building is connecting, collaborating, communicating. We have to communicate on our team. And then the last one is celebration. Well, I want to finish up here with celebration. Celebration, and the celebration starts here. 2 Corinthians 2, going to start in verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, and so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but from God. We speak in the sight of God in Christ. Let's look at verse 14 again. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. So in his book on Greek words, William Barclay believes that what Paul is actually thinking of and referring to is a Roman triumph. Right? This book was written back in the days of the Romans. So the Romans were the victors all over the world. And so they would have parades and different types of parades. And when a general required a certain triumph, right? When he won a certain battle, he would get a triumph, is what they called it. You can look this up online. And so there's a number of things that he had to qualify for. It had to be a significant victory. It had to be significant losses for the other side. It wasn't just averting danger, just salvaging a battle. But there had to be a great victory and had to bring the army back. And so then there was this huge parade that they would have in Rome. So William Barclay believes that this is what Paul is picturing, right? And he said in this big parade, the whole city would come out to watch and to join. And there was this huge, massive parade that came through. And it included the general being paraded. Paraded in front of the people. And they said that they would burn incense, right? There was an aroma. It's like the smell of, hey, we've got a special party today. And then the general would come through, and then the army would come through. And then if they had any prisoners of war, they would come through. And then the spoils of the war would come through, and the whole city would rejoice. And so we believe that this is what Paul is actually picturing. He says, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. And so there's a victory that Jesus gained over the cross. There's a victory that Jesus gained over sickness, over death. And so the Bible says that God leads us, that we are now part of that victory parade. And there's something about the life of the believer that celebration is vital in order to succeed as a believer. Something about celebration. And the key of being a New Testament believer is when you celebrate. As a New Testament believer, you know what we do? We actually celebrate in the middle of the battle. You go back to the Old Testament. Do you remember the story of Joseph being in Egypt? Do you remember that story? Joseph was the favored son of Israel. His father was Jacob. It's got all these older brothers, right? These are all the brothers where we get the names of the tribes of Israel. But this younger one, he came from his favorite wife, Rachel. And so he was given the special gifts on the house. And it made the other brothers mad. Anybody in that spot? Anybody have a sibling at home like they were like the favored one? Yeah, got a couple people raising their hand real quick. It's got a dozen. There's a dozen of them. And yet Joseph he's the one that's given the special coat, right? And the coat is designed in a way that means he's not going to be the worker in the field. He's actually going to be in the house leading. Well, then Joseph had a dream, and Joseph saw all his brothers bowing down to him a couple different ways. And just the way brothers do, Joseph just wanted to tell everybody, hey, everybody gather around. I had this great dream. Oh, you're going to love it, right? I had a dream last night, and all of you are working for me someday. You can imagine that went over really big. Right? I don't know about you, but I'm the youngest in the family, right? And so many times the older ones always complain how the youngest has it the best. They got everything, right? Got the car quicker. They had the better clothes, right? Curfew was later. What? They don't even have to be in at night, right? And so we recount the stories. And I do hear stories that even as adults, Christmas is coming up, right? Are you in the kind of family where people compare, what did they get from mom and dad? How much was spent on that, you know? Since I was the only boy, I really never compared because, the girls all got, like, for Christmas, got, clothes or makeup kits, and I felt so bad for them, Terrible gifts. But I guess there were years where the girls were like, while they're opening up their gifts, they're like keeping aware of, what is someone else getting in the family? And so after a few dreams and after Joseph letting everybody know, the brothers are like, we're getting rid of this guy. We are finishing him off, right? So we know the story that they just sold him into slavery, moved him down to Egypt. But they came back and told the dad, hey, here's the coat, right? Blood of a goat is on this. Was this Joseph's coat? I guess he's not living anymore. What a cruel story. What a terrible story. God had a plan, turned it around, so now Joseph is alive. Right? Joseph's in prison, but God is with him. Come on, no matter what trouble you're in, no matter how difficult it is, keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. God is with you in the prison. He is with you, and he can bring you out. He is going to bring you out. Come on now. Doesn't matter what trouble is going around in the world. We keep our eyes on him. So the whole world is now in famine, but God has placed Joseph in a significant spot to gather fruit, grain, food in Egypt. So a couple years later, in the middle of famine, the brothers show up in Egypt, and Joseph recognized them. And he's not bitter. He's not out for revenge. His heart goes out towards them. So after a couple of instances, finally, Joseph reveals himself. It's me. I'm Joseph. And now the little panic sets in with the brothers. What's this guy going to do? But he said, go get my father. Tell my father. So the brothers went home, told Jacob, hey, that's got to be an awkward conversation, right? So remember that one guy? Remember that guy who was around here a while ago? Oh, what was his name? Joseph. Do you remember Joseph, right? And remember how we told you that he died? Well, funny story. Plot twist. He's alive. Jacob didn't believe him. Jacob said, no. It'd been too long. It was too bitter. It was too hurtful. It was too painful. And then he saw the stuff. Joseph sent back a caravan full of goods. If you go back to that story in Genesis, the end of Genesis, the Bible says that when he saw the stuff, he believed. Right? He had to wait till the end. He was not able to rejoice ahead of time. But now fast forward, let's go to the life of David. Do you remember the story of David? David is anointed to be king. He's not king yet, but he's anointed to be king. He's the youngest, again, out working with the sheep. Well, his dad said, I want to see how your brothers are doing. So the brothers were in the army, in battle, facing the Philistines. And so David brings food, brings bread, he brings cheese. And his dad says, go find out how your brothers are doing. Well, the brothers aren't real happy with him too. What are you doing here? Why are you here? And they even kind of downplay his responsibilities. Aren't you supposed to be watching those few sheep? Not only are you supposed to be watching sheep, but they even put a qualifier in. There are hardly any sheep. We give you a bad job, and it's a small job, too. You ever feel like you've been given the bad job? Ever feel like you've been given the small job? Ever feel like you've been passed over? Come on, the Spirit of God is not finished with your story. He is not finished with your story. He has the last word. He's the promoter. Well, this is the story of David and Goliath. Goliath came out twice a day for 40 days and just threatened Israel. I'm going to take you down. You bring me one man, and I will fight him, and whoever wins that side will rule the other. 40 days, twice a day he comes out. This army is terrified. They have been listening to this 80 times. David hears it once, and David is starting to plot. What is David's question? Who's this guy? And then David asks, how big is the parade when I take this guy out? Well, and David is a New Testament believer in Old Testament times. David, as soon as he hears it, says, man, this is, that guy's huge. How big is the parade that I get when I take this guy down? Come on, from the very beginning, the whole army hears threats and they run. David hears it once and says, man, we are going to have a party. This is going to be great. Come on, there's something in the life of the believer that when trouble comes, the whole world cowers and is afraid. But there's something in the believer that jumps up and says, how big is the party going to be? How big is this party? And I submit to you as a believer, when you rejoice makes all the difference. You can be like Jacob and wait till you see it. I'm going to have to see it here before I rejoice. Or do you want to be like David? when everybody's running, you're imagining, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. Going to rejoice. Years ago when I was a teenager, my father passed away. It's one of the biggest things that happened to you. I've told you that story a number of times. But what happened, one of the things that happened immediately, the minute my father passed away, the enemy just tried to come in and just try to tell me all kinds of lies. And I'm telling you, for 20 years, I bought it. You're not going to be able to do this. You're going to forget that, forget this. It's almost like being on a boat and you're just throwing stuff off. Well, my dad died, so this is out. My dad died, I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to have this. He told me, you're not going to be able to drive a great car, Probably won't be able to go to a good school. Dad's not going to be there when you get married. Dad's not going to be there to go on trips with. You're not going to have this. You're not going to have that. You're not going to have this. And immediately, as soon as my father passed away, immediately just started my hopes and dreams for having a life. I knew I was called to the ministry. I knew I was still going into the ministry. But just being a success in life, just those hopes, just that day, just immediately exploded. And for the next 20 years, I'm telling you, I lived in poverty and saw myself as an orphan. I didn't necessarily realize that, but that was my identity, and it just came in immediately. And so when the orphan looks at life through a couple of filters, the filter of, well, I didn't get that. That won't happen to me, right? You see a family, and you realize, well, my dad's gone. I'm never going to be part of that. I'm never going to have that. Father and son outing. He's never going to have someone to be able to bounce ideas off of. Not going to have someone to lead and direct me. And I always felt like just that 16 years old was just the worst time. And then there's the way that people respond to you. Oh, it's a miserable place, right? You walk into a room and all of a sudden everybody gets quiet and they say things and then you feel like everybody's talking about you. Man, there's the young guy whose father died, right? And you just feel like you're a party killer everywhere you go. You feel like you walk into a room and everybody's nice and smiling and happy and then you walk in and everybody's somber. Nobody knows what to say. They don't know how to react, how to do things. And oh, it's just a miserable place to be in. And you just wonder, man, is life over? Am I ever going to have joy again in my life? And I saw myself as an orphan everywhere I went, right? I wanted a car, but I didn't think I qualified for much, right? So I just, the first car that I had was just a piece of junk, right? Because that's how I believed that I was going to live. Just an embarrassing car. Not the kind of car you can even ask a girl out on a date, If I found a girl that I really liked, I'd have to borrow a car like from a friend or from my sister, The kind of car where you weren't sure if the handle was going to work, It had a hatchback and the hatch came loose and you had to rig it to keep it, tied down, And I felt like this is me. This is life. I worked there at the mall and the people that I work with, they're not born again. And even they were like, Fleming, you got a miserable car, I don't know how to get out of this. I don't think I qualify. I was looking for another car. I was like, oh, I think this one, I might be able to afford this one, But the guy had spray painted it, And I tried to convince myself, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's the kind of car, that you just park at the back of the lot, I'm just going to park behind the Walmart. You don't want anybody to see you getting into it. Just a terrible car. Didn't have many clothes, And so that poverty stayed with me for years. Now I'm a traveling minister. I'm traveling out on the road, but I'm still just bound by that poverty, and I can't figure out how to get out from underneath it. I had two suits and two shirts. That's all I had. But fortunately, as a traveling minister, nobody knows what you wore the week before. You just change up the tie and everything, you just keep track of, okay, what did I wear last year? Which tie, change it up. And then the suit broke down, it looked nice on the outside, but it just ripped on the inside, so you don't want anybody to see that the liner's all broken, It's the summer, I'm in Michigan, it's 100 degrees out, and I got like a full suit on. They're like, why don't you take the coat off? And I was like, no. I was just embarrassed because, even now that the shirt is worn down, why don't you be comfortable? Well, I'm very comfortable. What are you talking about, Just sweating like a dog because the suit looked nice on the outside. As long as I kept it buttoned, just poverty everywhere you went. And you look at life from the view of, I got to have what's mine. You can't take from me, right? It's a defensive place. You combine that with the self-righteousness. It's just a miserable place to be. Go to a Quick Trip, you know, go to a convenience store, and you just demand everything that's coming to you. So I'm getting a soda, right? I fill it up, and I'm telling you, I'm filling it all the way to the top. I want 99 cents worth, and I want the whole thing. I want all 99 cents that's coming to me. I fill it up so much that you put the lid on it, the lid just floats. You can't even put the lid, can't even, right? It's like so much is still fit there in the cup, so I'm like drinking, and you snap the lid on there, and some soda comes up through, and I'm like, that's mine too. I'm taking that. I'm drinking that. Taking all of it. This is all of mine. You know, I wasn't the kind to, like, put it back under the fountain and drink a little bit. And, you know, I'm not doing that. That's not right. But come on, that's what poverty will do to you. You're hoping there's an end to this story, right? And then I focused on Jesus. And then I changed when I rejoiced. I changed when I rejoiced. I changed when I rejoiced. And I started to rejoice in the middle of lack. And I started to rejoice in the middle of poverty. And I started to rejoice. What did I rejoice about? I rejoiced about Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. He did it. And I began to focus on what Jesus did, right? Come on, as believers, this is our focus. Our focus is not on the trouble. Our focus is not on how are we going to pay for this. Our focus is Jesus. You got to keep looking at Jesus. There is a number of things that you can look at in the Gospels. Look at, come on, spend time. Open up your Bible. Let's look at the verses of healing. Is this where you are? Is this what you need? Look at these verses of healing, and I want you to begin to picture and imagine everywhere he went, he healed them all. Come on, Matthew 8, Matthew 9, Matthew 10, tremendous verses. He healed them all, and he healed them all, and he healed them all. Is there a single person in the Bible that came to Jesus and did not get healed? No, he healed every single one of them. There were some people that knew, Jesus, you have the power, but I don't know if you're willing. And what did he tell them? I am willing. And he healed them all, and he healed them all. So one thing you focus on is just keep watching Jesus heal everywhere he went. Another area of Jesus to focus on is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Come on, look at how he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Come on, there's healing all through the redemption, all through the work of Jesus Christ. Sickness is an offense to the kingdom of God. Sickness is an offense to what Jesus Christ has done for us. And you just keep focusing on the verse. So every time you're taking medication, come on, every time you're having to wrap up, whatever you have to do, come on, keep quoting the word of God. He took, right, himself took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Every time you're taking medicine, every time you're doing it, every time, come on, just keep focusing on Jesus. Keep focusing on Jesus. Keep focusing on he's the healer. Come on, it is God's will to heal every single person every single time. There is not one single person that came to Jesus and Jesus said to them, said, well, you know what? This actually came on you because you need to learn a lesson. Not one single person. You mean to tell me that these people that hadn't heard from God in 400 years, there's not one person that needed to learn a lesson? What? He does not use sickness. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Not one single person came to him healthy and walked away sick. Not one single person came to Jesus and Jesus said, man, you're really close. Just a few more days and then you're going to get healed. No, he healed him every single time, every single time, every single time. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Another thing to focus on is the fact that Jesus, come on, he did it. He was holy. He lived a holy life. He paid the price for our sins. His sacrifice was accepted unto God, right? So as the believer, Easter is not a one-time-a-year event where we think about it. Easter is a daily event for the believer. We just keep rejoicing of Jesus' victory over sin, over sickness, over death. Come on, did he do the job? Did he finish the job? Scripture tells us that he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Did he sit down because he's tired? Is that why he sat down? Did he get halfway through and finish halfway through and say, oh man, I got a little bit more to do, but this is tough, y'all. This is tough. I don't know what you guys, right? Is that what he said? Or did he complete the work and finish, right? Where's my people that love to start projects? Where are you? Where's my fellow people that love to start, right? Don't we just love starting projects? And yet we're not necessarily the best at finishing, right? Is that right? Right? I got all kinds of projects that I started at the house. Oh, I got some fun ones, you know? And then I just kind of lost interest, and then something else came up, and I started another project. Aren't you glad Jesus is not that way? He didn't just start it and say, okay, there's a little bit more, but tell you what, in order to get you to heaven, I got a little duct tape for you, right? Come on, when you got born again, he didn't look and say, wow, you really made a mess of things. Tell you what, I'm going to fix you halfway, and then the other half when you get to heaven. Come on, he said, behold, I make all things new. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things. Come on, say it with me. Say all things. Come on, say all things. Come on, say all trouble. All trouble has passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And there was one day when I began to focus on, did Jesus complete the work for me? Yes, he did. Did he complete it? Yes, he did. Did he finish the work? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So there was one day in my house, I just kept listening to a message that said, Jesus has already done this for us. Did he finish it? He did, he did, he did. And so what I did was I chose to rejoice that day. Come on, you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to say something. You're going to have to speak out. It does require you to do something. And I began to march around my room, my office, and say, come on, he did it. He did it. He did it. He did it. He finished it. He finished it. He finished it. Does he believe that I am set free from poverty? He absolutely does. Does he believe he paid the price? He absolutely does. And I'm telling you, that day, something changed on the inside of me. I got set free from poverty. Oh, can I tell you how good it feels to not view life from a position of lack anymore. What a relief. That everything just started to change. And then the family started to expand. Come on, he takes orphans, he turns them into sons and daughters, he takes sons and daughters, and he turns them into mothers and fathers. For so many years, I was single just by myself. Why was I single? Because I wasn't sure that I could pay for a family. I wasn't sure that I could provide for a family. And I got set free. I was believing for one, and now he's given me the one, and now he gave us two extra on top of it. So these two boys, we named them Nathan, right? A gift from God, and Andrew John. Right? Soldier, a warrior, a gift from God. These two boys are a gift. But I got there because I changed when I rejoice. Instead of waiting, okay, when things turn for me, then I'll rejoice. I began to rejoice in the middle of trouble. I began to rejoice in the middle of lack. I began to rejoice in the middle of, man, I don't know if there's a way out at all. For the New Testament believer, when you rejoice makes all the difference. What trouble are you in? Are you still wondering why it happened, how you got there? You wondering when it's ever going to turn? You have an opportunity to begin to rejoice. It starts with rejoicing what Jesus did for us on the cross. Focus on healing. Focus on his death, his burial, his resurrection. This is what the purpose of the Word of God, right? So you can get in there on your Bible, or if you've got your Bible, right? I do the same thing on the phone, right? If you look up the scripture verses on the phone, I highlight them. I don't know if you can see a little bit of color here, right? I'll highlight different verses just, right? Come on, this is what you can do in the Bible. This is what you can do. And just keep reading, and you just keep thinking about Jesus, and you keep thinking about Jesus, and you keep meditating on Jesus. Something about celebrating. It's how I got married. I celebrated before I ever had a wife. I celebrated. Celebrated before the kids even came. Every big area in my life where I have experienced transformation. Do you know what I mean by transformation? Like a radically different. It is so much different than before. I've got a testimony. Every area in my life where I experienced transformations because I rejoiced before I saw the answer. So there's somebody in here, come on today. You got to throw yourself a party. Feel like you got a dead-end job? Come on, throw yourself a party. If you got a good close friend in faith, you might invite them over. Hey, come on, let's celebrate my promotion. Hey, did it come? Yeah, it's coming. Celebrate. All right, estranged from your family, come on, you got to have a party. Throw yourself a party. Come on, you're single, come on, throw yourself a party. Looking for a spouse, looking for somebody? Some of you might need to throw a party for a stronger marriage. Rejoice. Begin to rejoice. You begin to rejoice. Come on, it does not take long. It does not take long. It does not take long. A matter of half an hour, I just was rejoicing about Jesus Christ. Got set free from poverty. 20 minutes one day, I got set free from that identity of being an orphan. 20 minutes. 20 minutes of rejoicing. Reversed 20 years of trouble. It does not take long. And so we are people who celebrate. Come on, now that's who we are. We're Jesus people. We celebrate, right? We may not know what the exact answer is, but we know there is an answer, right? Come on, we're different than the rest of the world. There's something different about us. Something different about us. It's when we rejoice. When we rejoice. Come on, let's pray.
Thank you for joining us today. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, we want to chat with you and help you in your walk with God. We invite you to connect with us at wcspokane.com/connect, and someone from our team will be in touch with you. You can also hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new content in the future. Thanks again for joining us, and remember, Jesus is coming soon.